sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
I got dreams of holding a 9mm to Bob's killer, asking him why as my eyes fill up. These days I can't wake up without a dry pillow. Gone but not forgotten, Holmes, I still feel ya. So curse the day that birthed the bastard who caused your church mass, reversed the crash, reversed the blast, then reversed the car. Reverse the day, and there you are, Bob Balab. Lord forgive him. We all have sinned, but Bob's a good dude. Please let him in. And if you feel in my heart that I long for revenge, please blame it on the son of the morning. Thanks again.
Damn, that was not bad. Oh my God, not bad, Jay-Z.
Hey, let's go there. Let's go. Welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, I want to remind you listeners, you returning listeners, that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on April 2nd, 2023. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Damn. Holy cow. Holy cow. I want to remind y'all listeners, another reminder for your listeners for the next hours and few minutes or so that...
I am your king now!
There we go. I mean, thank you. No, thank you for logging in, for listening, for pressing play, for giving me some of your time. Give me some of your time. You know, we take for granted that time is a very valuable resource and money you can get back. But time, nah, not so much. Not so much. Look at me preaching, right? Mr. Speaking of time, let me set up the timer. Let me get a timer going. This is just for my own protection. And not protection, it's more for my own... Where the fuck did I put it? Hold on a second. I got... I have two monitors. Hey, lady. Yes, I'm singles. And, and a whole bunch of windows all over the place. No, not porn, but, you know, it's got a lot of windows all over the place. And sometimes it's a while till you get distracted. So, yeah, all right, let's get this timer going. All right, so intro. This is the first act of the podcast where I try to ease you into the podcast, ease you in before I get into news and random thoughts and end with final thoughts. So act one, two, and three. And in the intro, I'd just like to, you know, just some random, whatever. I'm going to start with some des citations. I can't say that in English. The quotes, some quote that I found on the internet. Shout out to my homie, Talam AC, one of the greatest to ever do it in Talal Mace. He's just a poet. He's a poet. And I follow him, and he likes to post quotes. And sometimes some of these quotes, like hit hard, hit home, and really are deep. And I am just going to share them with you. So the first one is, it takes a lot of words to say what's on your, oh my God. It takes a lot of words to say what you have in mind. Give it more thought. Oh my God, I'm fucking this up. Okay, what he meant to say is, if it takes you a lot of words to say what you have on your mind, give it more thought. And I love this. The author of this quote is Dedith Roth. But I love this one because it's something I'm struggling on. I'm struggling with. Every once in a while, I'll have a topic and I'll put it on the show and I will beat my gums for a while and then realize that, holy shit, I just spent a whole hour explaining nothing. Anyways, yeah, so that's deep. That's deep. It's one of those quotes that I'm sharing, not because I'm preaching, but it's more I need to remind myself of it. Another quote that Brother Talam shared with us is, it goes like this. He says, half the world is composed of people who have something to say and can't, and the other half who have nothing to say and keep on saying it. Robert Frost. Let that shit marinate, boys and girls. You know what's funny is I'm a podcaster and with a lot of insecurities, and I can't stop myself from wondering, am I the latter? Am I one of those people who are just talking for the sake of talking with nothing of value to share with the world? And that's what this podcast is about. I'm challenging myself with this. That's not true. Okay, no, you know what? Okay, let me get out of this self-pity shit. This quote is one of those things, one of those quotes that it's easier to point out the people, the latter, than it is to recognize that, oh shit, Robert Frost just dissed me. All right, okay. I'm already at 3 minutes. Okay, I knew I was going to go over time with this introduction. Usually my intros are short, but I'm going to keep it short. Okay, I'm going to keep it short. The next one I had was a correction about something I said on the past episode about trans and non-binary. But you know what? I'm going to save that part for news and random thought because I feel like I need to think this one through, and it's gonna take a while. All right, and so last but not least, happy belated birthday to Gil Scott Heron. Happy birthday and RIP. He was born on April 1st, 1949, May 27th, 2021. Jesse Owens, the man who humiliated Hitler at the Berlin Olympics. And he did that on this day in 1980. Jesse Owens, the man who humiliated Hitler at the Berlin Olympic by winning 4 Olympic golds, died. Hitler hosted the Olympics. Okay, so Jesse Owens passed away in, let me make sure I get the date right. Yeah, RIP to, he died March 31st, 1980, Tucson, I don't know how you pronounce that, Tucson, Arizona in the United States, born September 12th, 1943. Yeah, so RIP, Brother Jesse Owens. And last but not least, I wasn't really going to cover this, but, you know, I like sharing content that I found from other content creators. And this one is just, I'm going to dedicate this to Trump. And the content creator's name is Madison McFerrin. And she's got this to say.
That motherfucker's guilty. 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 That motherfucker's guilty.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into details, but I don't know, man. All of us are celebrating that. It's not a celebration. Honestly, I want to see Trump go to prison just so I could start believing that no one is above the law. Because right now I'm very, you know, even though speaking as a Canadian, but it's sometimes discouraging, man. It's like the bad people always win. And seeing him go to jail just like would reinforce my faith in the concept of law and order. Not that I'm the law and order type, usually the law and order type, but fuck, when it comes to the degree of fucking Trump, that motherfucker has to go to jail. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, he can't keep getting away with this shit. But anyways, here we are. again, all these links. All these references, links will be in my show notes, so you can check it out for yourself. All right, okay. You know what? First of all, we're going to jump to our next section called Use and Random Thoughts. And instead of wasting time, we're just going to go ahead and do it. So stick around. News and Random Thoughts. Yeah. All right. Now, before I start Use a Random Thought, I made the mistake of opening up Twitter and my notification is on and sorry. I am addicted to, oh my God. Every time that notification comes on and it's in front of me, I have to click to see what it is. It's like, someone on the internet's calling me a punk. Cause I usually assume someone's talking shit and you know, and I'm the type who likes to, what's that expression? Respond to every bark. Anyway, I'm working on it. You know, no one's perfect. All right. Yeah. In the final thought, I guess I should mention that I'll explain my title selection for this episode. What is it? 066. And I think I said blaming on the sun of the morning. But we'll get to that. Before we get to final thoughts, let's finish this segment. All right. So first things first. Correction is something I said on the previous episode. One, I think I may have made the mistake of confusing trans people with non-binary people. And I couldn't be further from, and I was wrong. That's completely wrong on my part. I'm not perfect. I don't walk on water. I'm learning, right? I'm still learning, educating myself. And in the link, there's this resource that I found. It's called Understanding Non-Binary People. Hold on a second. I forgot to turn on the motherfucking timer. Oh, my God. That motherfucker's guilty. That motherfucker. Okay, here we go. All right, okay, here we go. Understanding non-binary people, how to be respectful and supportive. You know what? Instead of reading, I'm just going to put it in my own words. No, because that's how it got me into trouble the last time. Okay. I'm reading a section from the page I just found, okay? And it's specifically the part it says, most transgender people are not non-binary. All right? Okay. While some transgender people are non-binary, most transgender people have a gender identity that is either male or female and should be treated like any other man or woman. Okay, I was talking about, this was in response to, another correction I need to make is, I was talking about the Black Fat Fame podcast. Great podcast. Yo, oh my God, fascinating. I just listened to a recent episode and shit was inspirational, man. Words I'm able to explain at the moment. I just need to like process all this, but it was inspirational because the two co-hosts have a certain joie de vivre I can't explain. Joie de vivre / I call it a Nat Turner type freedom in a sense that they're living their lives by as binary, two binary individuals, and you can sense the freedom the defiant freedom that they have. That's why I call it the Nat Turner style freedom, because Nat Turner pretty much told the slave master, it's like, yo, if it's freedom with death, I pick death. But before I die, I'm taking a few of you crackers with me. anyway, so the clarification that I, or the second clarification, the correction I need to make is, I kept referring to, there are two members on the Black Fat Fame. And the first one, I may have referred to him as John Paul. His name is Dr. I should have said Dr. John Paul. And the co-host is Jordan Joho Daniels. Jordan Daniels. Again, links in the show notes. And I found a certain sense of inspiration from listening to their podcast. And while listening to them, realizing that, they're non-binary. Am I saying this right? They're non-binary human beings. And the way I can express, define non-binary in my own words is, look, putting me in a category, pitching me in a hole between men or woman doesn't work for my identity. If you really want to get to know me, you need to accept me as, well, start out by accepting me as non-binary. I guess I'm a binary person, because I consider myself male, in my identity. I consider myself male, I just don't live up to the standard of the cult of masculinity, but I do still consider myself a male, even though I acknowledge some of the feminine traits that I have within me, like being ultra sensitive. Highly sensitive, that's the word. Highly sensitive, apparently my nervous system's all fucked up. I'm sorry. Okay. What you're hearing in this microphone is some self-acceptance problems. So, you know what? I'm not going to break down the scientific explanation of highly sensitive, but here we are. All right, got the correction out the way. Second, something I learned this week, and I'm going to try to define that as best. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to read the article with y'all, man. It's called this week I learned about the Creole Trail Run. I remember, I'm scrolling through, I know it said Facebook, Twitter. I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I'm watching this video of a bunch of black folks. Are you ready? Are you listening? Are you sitting down? On horseback. On fucking horseback. One, when I say black folks, I'm talking plural form. I'm talking more than two. More than one, that's plural. But I mean, it was a parade of black folks. The camera was just, whoever's operating the camera, the cameraman was saluting everyone passing by. But it was, all you hear is cluck, 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 cluck. You know, the sound that horses make, cluck, 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 okay? And it's black folks on horses. Not like, oh my God, what am I doing on this? Like, skilled. Chilling, like they were on motorbikes, it was their second nature. And I remember watching this video that was probably 5 minutes in length, and it's just black folks after black folks, men, women, all kind, young, old, all on horseback, just passing through, and my mind exploding. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at? Is this like a circus? Is this like a circus act? It's just. And all I remember is there was a hashtag to Louisiana. And I remember stopping it because I had to get ready for work, shower and all that shit. But it just played on my mind. It was playing in the back of my mind, and I looked into it. And what I didn't realize what I was looking at, it was called the Creole Trail Run. All right? And the Creole Trail Run is explained as, I have a whole bunch of links to it, right? But let me go to the article I had saved for this one. It's on The Guardian. Is this the one I want to read? No, not the one. Not that one. No, it's called Lonely Planet. Lonely Planet, and it goes, I'm going to try to read it instead of using my AI device. Creole Trail Ride highlighted black cowboy history. First of all, Creole. I see the word Creole as a Haitian, that just excites me. Creole is the language we use while Haitian people communicate with each other. Sak masé, man. Bra bra bra. Sak afé, man. You know. But apparently Creole is also an identity. There's a lot I need to learn about that part of the world. And okay, so let me just explain. Okay, I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs of this article, and you can read the rest for yourself. It goes, on any given weekend, are you hearing this? On any motherfucking given weekend in towns across Louisiana and Texas, who's click-clack on pavement and wagons blast infectious Zydeco rhythm. Zydeco? Is that what it is? Okay. It's a music genre. Okay. Holding the horse's reins in one hand and a cold beer in the other. That's what I said, man. They look so fuck second nature. Is a long line of cowboys. Not the John, man, fuck John Wayne. Okay. Not the John Wayne type typically seen in Hollywood Western, but African American men and women celebrating their culture on a Creole trail ride. These campout festivals involve processions of horses and wagons, spicy Creole food, traditional lion dancing, and all-night partying. Bring a cowboy hat. Okay, an all-night partying. Point. Bring a cowboy hat, an empty stomach, and a horse if you got one, because everyone's welcome as long as they behave. Fucking black folks. You got to put that in bracket. Hey, we need you to be on your best behavior. Here's what you need to know about the Creole Trail rides. Okay, and it goes into the Creole Trail history. It goes into saddling up Yeehaw Zitkuru style. And let me play this. Yeah, there was a time where I would hear those kind of violins and that, and I'm like, yeah, I'm getting the fuck out. That's white people music. Turns out I was wrong. Refueling the Creole Ray food. I see shrimp. Oh my God, this looks like rules of rides, how to ride the trail ride. You might also like, look, man, all my point is I had convinced myself that there's no fucking possible reason for me to be in Louisiana. And right now, as someone who's fascinated by history and culture and that kind of shit, especially black folks doing shit that I didn't think we did, I'm gonna have to go to Louisiana. Fuck. I'm gonna have to go to, okay, sure. There's also New Orleans. I've always wanted to go, you know, there for Mardi Gras. That's because I watched Tremé. That didn't help too. I watched Mardi Gras, but it also, apparently there's like a close link history between Haiti and Louisiana. But whole Louisiana is calling me right now. It's calling me. Do I wanna be, man. Me on a fucking horse? It blew my mind, man. Remember when Obama became president? That's what I'm talking about. Blew my mind like that. I'm like, wait, what? What? Black folks can lead a country? Can be a leader of the free world? What the fuck is this world coming to? Anyway, this shit just fascinated me and blew my mind, man. Blew my mind. If you got more details, you want to send pictures or whatever, you know what they don't mention? You know, is it a great place to pick up chicks? Anyways, some fascinating shit. So, yeah, the Creole Trail Run. For more details, check out the show notes. You can read up on that. All right. What else do I have? Okay. Again, news and random thoughts. Yo, Twitter is a toxic fucking environment, and yet I keep coming back. I feel like Pac, I can't blame the dealers. My mama's welfare check bought the next man chrome wheels. Okay, that's a bad comparison. What I'm saying is Twitter is like the toxic ex-girlfriend with good pussy. I said this before, and I bitch about Twitter a lot, about how it's toxic. But yet I can't get myself to keep coming. Like right now, I'm in the middle of a fucking podcast and that notification light went on and I had to see what that was about. Yo, okay, yeah, I need to talk to my therapist about that. But with that said, in today's how Twitter is fucking toxic, I'm like, well, the first item that came up is there's an article that was shared. It was in response to, okay, there's a clip going viral on Twitter at the moment. It might stop by now, but okay, and it goes something like this. I'll play it. Here we go.
Proud thing that all these women have going on. I mean, I don't knock women for feeling proud and for wanting to have, you know, that girl power and holding things over him, but no, you've got to give it up, Lee. I please my man in every way. All the ways. Wake him up. He gets to nut. Before he leaves out the door, he's leaving empty nuts. At work, I am calling him like, come outside, it's your lunch break. It's time for you to get your nut off.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. Okay, the point of the clip is basically she's pretty much telling herself, this woman is pretty much saying that if I have a significant other, I drain his balls. Those testicles are fucking dry. Those testicles cannot keep up with the demand. She fellatios her man, and everyone's been looking at this at like it was like some sub-influencer on a podcast. And which is a common thing on the internet is it's someone is on the microphone and usually they're saying something fucking crazy and everyone comments on it. Well, in this particular case, the Garbage Day, what is this? Garbage Day is a blog page. Anyway, the title of the article or of the think piece is KFAB content and podcasts that don't exist. The viral nut podcast clip isn't from an actual podcast. No, it's a clip by porn actress. What's her name again? I did my research already. Victoria Banks, and I want to confirm that I did check out her material to make sure that she is a porn star. And basically, this clip was to promote her OnlyFans page. That's what it was all about. She wasn't out there giving advice to women about this is the kind of woman you should be and all that kind of shit. And no, she was just, this was a clip to promote her OnlyFans page. But what kills me is how on Twitter, how it was presented to me as one of those articles and where everyone just weighs in about, oh, this chick is stupid. Oh, I don't like blowjobs. But you know, all kinds of shit around this video. And only to realize that it's one of the many ways, toxic ways, that Twitter keeps me engaged. Like, they'll promote bullshit. For example, I got one is, and I'm not going to share a link to that video, but it's my least favorite human being on the world, Andrew Tate, talking about giving advice on fatherhood. About fatherhood, and he's saying some stupid shit about, you know, fathers, don't be bitches, don't let your woman tell you, you know, go out there, make that money, but you don't have to be home with your kid. But something stupid, it's something bullshit. And to make it worse, the person who shared this content is a woman saying, yeah, oh my God, my dad was never around, and I turned out all right. Say something stupid like that. I forget, whatever, right? And I remember just thinking, because I wanted to respond so badly, and it hit me, I'm like, what the fuck? Can I tell someone who believes Andrew Tate is the kind of person to take advice from about fatherhood? What the fuck can you tell? Like, I'd rather have a conversation about flat earth with someone who believes that earth is flat than talk to someone who thinks that, no, man, Andrew Tate's got a point, you know? I mean, here's the thing. I remember the article, the link came up on my what is it, For You? Is that what it is? My For You? It wasn't my follow. And I was so angry, trying to think of the infinite possible way I could respond to this person, only realize that ain't shit you could tell him. The only thing, if you say something, you're just making yourself feel good. Ain't shit you could tell this fucking person who, maybe they're just trolling you. But my point is, Twitter has been doing has been very good lately at so funny at promoting shitty content. And when I say shitty content, shit that gets under my skin and that makes me want to, like, I just told you how when that red light but notification comes on, I'm ready for a fight. I'm like, either someone's giving me props or someone's calling me a punk on the internet, and I'm like, I could be in the middle of defusing a bomb, but if my Twitter notification comes on, I'm like, hold on, hold the fuck up. I knew it. Someone on Twitter's called me a punk. I'll get to it. My point is this. Twitter is fucking toxic. Yes, that last leg about the Creole Trail Run, I did find out on Twitter. But that shit is fucking... Oh, my God. Like, I have to... There's more negativity on Twitter than there is positivity, inspirational shit. And the thing is, I don't know if I can blame Elon Musk. I think I'm the one who keeps falling for it. He's like the girl who you're in love with. It's like, hey, I'll leave you if you could get rid of me. He's just like, yo, I'm just giving you what you want to hear. I just show you what you want to hear. Yo, you're keeping me. Your engagement on Twitter allows me to fucking pay for advertisement or get some advertisement dollar off this shit. Look, the only awareness to this segment is, yo, Twitter is fucking toxic. End period, stop. All right, okay, let me get to the next item on the rundown sheet because I'm getting close to my time here. The distinction, oh, right, okay, this is a quick thought. It goes, I make a distinction between white people and a white person and a person who happens to be white. And this was in response to someone I follow on Twitter. All right, the positive content on Twitter. Someone I follow. And his name is Kenny Akers, at Kenny Akers. And he just wrote a piece that just had me thinking. He said, dear white people, I need you to understand that you are different than white folks. There we go. Folks would be invited to my house, the cookout, my kids' wedding. Example, A, white folks smiling, laughing, being all friendly. You know, normal stuff. Yeah, he just shows a picture of, you know, of... that sister looks suspicious. By the way, yeah, it just shows black couple interacting with a white couple, and they're smiling. I guess it's a picture of being at the cookout. And what I like about that piece, because he just reminded me of how, yes, I make a distinction between white people and people who happen to be white. People who happen to be white, I'm able to interact with those people like human beings. White people, nah, man. Our relationship is just an evolved relationship slavery. Meaning it's not built on truth. Most of the time, I'm code switching around you for a white person. Because of your capacity to understand the world the way it actually is, your inability to see the world beyond what your parents told you how it was, for you to see that, you know, to get beyond white supremacy, that me talking about race is not because I'm trying to make your life difficult. It's because it's a fucking reality. I'm saying with human beings, with a person who happens to be white, their identity is not tied up in their white skin or the idea of a white skin. What's his name? Ta-Nehisi Coates uses the word people who believe that they are white. If you take the time to understand what it means to be white, that's funny, right? White people could tell you what it's like to be a white person, to be, you know, a white person, but they can't tell you shit about what it means to be white. I don't know if that makes sense. But all this to say, when it comes to white people, there's two kinds. There are white people, and then there are people who just happen to be white. And the latter is like, basically, the latter, they're the anti-racist types. Maybe I should say three kinds of white people. Because the third kind is like, John Brown. Okay, motherfucking John Brown. Okay, that's a different kind of breed of human being. That motherfucker, he's in the trenches taking bullets with the rest of us. All right, okay. Last item on the news and random thoughts, before I wrap this up, is... Okay. Did you know, this is more content I found on TikTok and by Miriam Tiny. And it says, did you know the concept of three meals a day? Three meals a day. You've probably heard this already, right? The three meals a day, where that came from. Crackers. Whitey. I mean, I blame the white man for everything, and right now I'm blaming him for only allowing me to have three meals a day.
Maybe everyone but me knew this. Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Me and my fingers. Okay. I'm going to play this clip by Miriam Tiny and break it down, sister, on the concept of three meals a day. Here we go.
Okay, maybe everyone but me knew this, but I just learned from the book I'm reading, I'll put it right here, that the three meals a day thing, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is from colonialism and white supremacy. That when the European colonizers came and saw the indigenous people eating when they were hungry, they were like, they're savages, they are uncivilized. Because the white Europeans differentiated themselves from animals who would graze for their food when they were hungry by setting distinct meal times that correlated with time of day. And so that is why we eat three meals a day instead of just eating when we're hungry. Because the colonizers thought that that resembled animals too much.
What kills me is my dad was big on this whole, nope, three times a day concept. And being oblivious that, you know, he was just regurgitating bullshit concept from his enslavers. Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, it I don't know. It just, the more you know. Shout out to Miriam Tiny. Again, the links to her, to the video you just heard, and Miriam Tiny herself will be all in the show notes. All right, hey, let me applaud myself, all right? Okay, let me applaud myself. 23 minutes in. Well, okay, according to the timer, 35 minutes. Okay, applaud to myself for completing news and random thoughts. I'll be honest with you, before this podcast started, I was a little worried on how much that I was going to go into overtime. But with that said, let's jump to final thoughts. Here we go. Damn. All right. Where are we?
I am your king now.
Yeah. All right. Oh, you know what? Okay. You know what I haven't played? On the last clip, my new clip, it goes like this.
No, devil, this is not the words of Jesus Christ.
Shut your mouth, Cain, bitch.
There we go. Holy fuck. Yeah. Part of my intro, that fuck, especially, you know, if you want to be down with Whitey, that's meant to filter out white people from people who happen to be white. I feel I'm always justifying it, but... you know when I'm the least supportive of my own content, of my own podcast, is when I'm high. My brain seems to go into this whole think about everything and even making shit up, everything I'm doing wrong with the podcast. That's all I can focus on. And where was I going with this? Yeah. Yeah, when I'm high. Yeah, I gotta cut. I think I need to cut out the weed, man. It's fucked up when your brain is working against you. Right, talk to someone who suffers from schizophrenia. They can tell you about that shit. But yeah, here we go. Okay, you know what? I'm speaking and my hand is in front of me and I can feel droplets coming out of my mouth. And I'm wondering, do I do that in real life? Am I spitting when I talk to people? And because I live in Canada, people are way too polite to tell you that, hey, motherfucker, you're spitting on me. Unintentionally, but yeah. I might need to talk to my doctor about that shit. We'll see what that's about. Anyways, excuse me. That was kind of disgusting, but welcome to my podcast. I forgot.
I am your king now.
Yeah, it's flex your muscle, B-Black. That's the whole point of having your own podcast. Okay, final thoughts, and then we cut out for recess. Well, end of the day. Okay, if you hear me struggling with my breathing, it's because my nose is stuffy again, and I didn't turn on my air filter like I did last time. Why? Because it's all the way over there, and then plus the sound and shit like that, but... I don't know, what's more annoying? My air filter in the background, or me... struggling to breathe, like sounding like I'm struggling to breathe, but you know, I'll make a poll. We'll get back to you. Well, yeah, I'll create a poll. Okay, first item. Wow. I just finished talking shit about Twitter, and now I'm about to talk about some more content that I found on Twitter. When you think about it, a lot of this podcast is me reacting off content I found on Twitter, heard on a podcast, watched on TV, or, you know, TV news and whatever the fuck. Or in regular life. Actually, not so much regular life. But here we go. I still stand by my stance of Twitter is toxic as fuck. With that said, I want to read a piece by Dr. Nicole, someone I follow on Twitter. Her name is Dr. Nicole LaPera, and she's a holistic, let me just read her profile. It's right in front of me. It goes, psychologist, author, podcaster. Oh, shit. I just now find out she has a podcast. I should check out her podcast. So embarrassing. Okay, psychologist, author, podcaster. I teach people how to heal and break generational cycles. Founder of Self Healer Circle. Join the waitlist. Okay, anyway, right. So she posted something that kind of ties into, not theme, but another thought that I've had, that's been lingering on my mind since the last episode. But here we go. Okay. First it goes, cutting someone out of your life and choosing yourself is one of the most difficult experiences a person can go through in life. I'm going to dedicate this. I don't know if any of my relatives will be listening to this, but yes, I have a lot of relatives who I've cut out for my life. And they've been taking it personally and not oblivious of the fact that if I cut you out, trust me, it wasn't easy. It wasn't because I enjoyed. This ain't a pleasure for me. It's like one of the most difficult shit I've ever had to do in my motherfucking life. It's unfortunate being in this kind of situation. So I'm going to repeat one more time. Again, this is a thread I forgot to mention. This is a thread. So here we go. Okay. Cutting someone out of your life and choosing yourself is one of the most difficult experiences a person can go through in life. Here's what to expect. Walking away from toxicity isn't an easy choice. Thank you for emphasizing that. It's not a trend, and it's not something we do because we want to. Usually it's a decision made after years, sometimes decades, of pain or abuse. It's especially painful when you know their behavior comes from their own pain and addiction, their conditioning and unsolved trauma. There's a grieving period, a period where we second guess ourselves. Amen. Maybe we should have just gotten over it. We might even feel shame or like we're a bad person for choosing our own emotional health. We have to let go of how we wish things could be. The hope we had that the dysfunction would end. Oh, that's sad. And we have to face the reality that people don't change unless they choose to. I'm gonna finish this before I add my thoughts. There's added pain if other people are involved telling you just get over it. Or pressuring us to have the person in your life. Many people like their entire lives. Many people live their entire lives tolerating abuse or dysfunction, and it can be painful to be misunderstood by them. With time, there are feelings of empowerment, enough space to heal from the damage, to reflect. To reflect on what we value and who we want in our lives, to process the experience and learn and grow from it. It can be a truly liberating experience to know that you're an adult who can choose the people you let in your life, something we didn't have access as children. The shame fades as we get confirmation that we made the right decision, or we get calling, eventually reconnect. Okay. Or we get a calling to eventually reconnect. Everyone's journey looks different. If you're on this journey, I know it can feel lonely. Amen, sister. Trust yourself, trust your intuition, and trust the process. If you're going through this, support and share this comment. Oh my God. Okay, first of all, I'm going to hit like on all this comment thread. Okay, because I forgot to do that. Go like and like. Oh man, I don't believe I forgot to do this. Holy shit, I saved the link. And then she says, if you found this helpful, go to @holisticpsych. That's not you. Yeah, I'm already following that. Okay. I write threads every day on how to heal yourself. Join the waitlist. Okay. My book, How to Beat Yourself. Okay. Yeah. Powerful stuff, man. Powerful stuff. Here's the thing that the thought that I was thinking a lot about is someone on Twitter. Actually, I think it was Dr. John Paul on his Twitter. He shared a question someone asked on Twitter about why did you leave the church? Something else about me is I'm an ex-Christian. I'm actually ex-Christian, ex-Christian and son of a pastor, preacher's kid, PK kid, preacher's kid. Yeah. Why I left the church, well, there's a million reasons, but I can tell you it started when I learned that picture of white Jesus that my parents had in their kitchen was inaccurate. And it's not the fact that I was disappointed that Jesus wasn't white. It's learning why the fuck they painted him white. That's what planted the seed and led to my journey to being this ex-Christian. Now, why am I bringing Christianity in this? Is because nowhere in church was this conversation about blocking people, you know, cutting someone out of your life. Sure, you cut out the people who stopped me from being better Christians, but there was never a thing about, like, mental health wasn't a thing growing up in church. It was like, you know, but it's if you did have mental health problems, just pray that shit out. The other thing too is a lot of the people who I ended up cutting off would tell you that they are proud, they are good Christians. And that's the fucking problem. The Christianity, in my opinion, the Christianity seems to prevent them from looking in the fucking mirror and see their own dysfunction. In their mind, they're just, hey, God is working on all of us. In their mind, they're beyond reproach. And ain't shit you can tell these people, man. Maybe it's not religion or Christianity that's preventing them from changing, but that shit is like a fucking enabler, man. It's an enabler. It's in a sense that there's a part of Christianity about forgiving them. So every time their dysfunction causes them to do something dysfunctional, well, they expect you, the expectation is you forgive them and, you know, and you let it go. And at some point, Jesus will come from heaven and spank them and make them right. But I never saw, in my journey into therapy, Jesus had nothing to do with it. It wasn't, something in the Bible that said, you know what, I should go see a therapist. No, it was my own. There was nothing in that fucking book, nothing from a preacher that made me say, you know what? Something's wrong with the spine, man. If I need to, like, check what's going on, I need to talk to someone. And like I said in a previous episode is, I didn't need Jesus. I needed fucking therapy. But I was surrounded by people who said, nah, you just need Jesus. You'll be okay. And everything. Like, what I'm saying is I was so fucking disappointed that the problems that I did have, the church was nowhere. Church Bible was nowhere to be found when it came to finding solutions. It was just more like, just enjoy your addiction. Enjoy, keep tolerating bad behavior. That's the only thing I got from the church is keep tolerating bad behavior. And when you get to the afterlife, bring it up to Jesus. Which brings me to the second, before last item. Hold on a second. Damn, something's got stuck in my throat. Yeah. Final thought. With all this said, I had a moment this week where I found myself realizing, I'm going to go into specifics, but I don't just say I had a moment this week where I found myself realizing that I may not know what forgiveness means. Because for me, when I think of forgiveness, I see it as something you do for someone else. I used to say that it was, you do it for yourself, some self-healing, whatever. But, I just had this conversation that made me realize that I might not understand forgiveness. And I may not have forgiven the people I thought I forgave. Like I'm struggling, like, for example, me cutting toxic people from my life. Old me would have just said, forgive them. And forgive them just means let them do what they've been doing. Accept their fake apology. You know they're not going to change. Just accept them for who they are. That to me was forgiveness. Just bring them back. Let them back into your life. And now, like, I'm just confusing. Look, all I'm sharing with you is confusion at the moment. I don't have any solutions. I'm working on it. But I'm just acknowledging that I had a moment this week that made me consider the possibility, consider the reality that I may not understand the concept of forgiveness. Now, before you're one of those million people who come to lecture me about what it means to forgive, don't do it. I remember I had these two close friends, God bless their soul, who I realize it's not the first time, but they realized that I had difficulty forgiving people who had wronged me. And these two people in a separate conversation, we're having a separate conversation on WhatsApp. Two of them, when they heard me, it just so happened, they just heard me say, oh, you struggle with forgiveness? They started to lecture me about the concept of forgiveness. And it wasn't the lecture that was disturbing me. It was the fact that these two people talking to me were actually at odds. These two people who were talking to me just... same coincidence, in that same breath, actually had beef with each other. They were talking to me on a separate channel. Say, one's on my left, one's on my right. Oblivious, like they didn't know that I was talking to both of them. And I just felt like saying, oh, so you want me to practice forgiveness the same way you practice it? And I guess what I'm saying is, part of the reason why I struggle with the concept of forgiveness is because a lot of the people who tried to teach me forgiveness didn't understand it them fucking self. And all this to say that, fast forward to 2020, this 48-year-old man and is like just at a moment realizing that, okay, maybe I don't understand forgiveness. I don't understand. Like when Jesus was, dying on the cross, the fictitious, according to the story, I'm not saying whether it happened or whatever. I'm just talking about the story. Him dying on the cross and he says, God, forgive him forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. Talking about the people who put him on the cross. And we're supposed to look at it, like I always looked at it as, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for keeping your father calm. But apparently in the concept of forgiveness, there's an aspect where there's like a selfish aspect. There's a part about forgiveness that's supposed to benefit you. It's supposed to make you let go of the grudge. Like, I remember hearing someone say that holding on to grudge is like holding on to fire and hoping to punish the other person. I don't get it. Yeah, no, I don't get it. I see forgiveness as, okay, you know what? I was gonna say as weak as giving people a pass. I see it as, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe by the next episode I'll have had figured it out. But as it stands, the version of Be Black you're speaking to right now doesn't understand the concept of forgiveness or is working on understanding the concept of forgiveness. With that said, which finally brings me, we're going to end with, what's up with today's title? Well, two things crossed to mind is, one is because it's episode 66, so I wanted to make some kind of reference to theology. Well, Christian theology, some shit like that. And also the fact that the concept of forgiveness was lingering in my head. My first choice was to find some verse off Rick Ross's album, God Forgives Me and I Don't. God Forgives Me But I Don't, or some shit like that. And then I was thinking about a lot of words came to mind, you know, and then Young Buck. Thou shalt not kill. Is that what it's called? Wait, hold on. It's called Young Buck. Yeah, Thou Shalt. This one here. Excuse me. Thou shalt not kill. Yeah. Or, you know what? Or maybe I'm thinking, you know, shit, I'm surprised I didn't go with something from Boardwalk Empire. I actually have a rap song. Ah, man. Okay, now that I think about it, it's too late for that. But one of my favorite lines from the TV show, the HBO TV show, Boardwalk Empire, he's got a line where he says, I am not seeking forgiveness. And the whole point is just how I'm struggling with the concept of forgiveness. And everyone who's tried to teach me about forgiveness didn't understand it their own goddamn self. I shouldn't say everyone. I'll say most. A lot of people who tried to teach me about forgiveness didn't understand it or couldn't explain it them damn selves. Anyways, so I was looking for something in reference to number 66, something religious. Okay, I mean, sure, 666, but, you know, 2-6 is good enough. 2-6 out of 3-6 is still scary. So, and it's funny how I went from a 2 Chainz song about forgiving and ended up with being reminded of that track by Jay-Z called Lucifer. And I'm like, yeah, instead of reference to Jesus, why don't I reference the Son of the Morning? I love that line, right? And it sounds like, I'm trying to understand what Lucifer is all about. Yeah, Lucifer, Son of the Morning. I love lyrics and digging into them. So, and using this podcast to do exactly that. And he goes, oh, shit. Lucifer, Son of the Morning, I'm gonna chase you out the earth. Okay. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like the song Lucifer is something about, there's a recurring theme about on vengeance. And, yeah, I don't know. The track is up. It sounds like, yeah, Jay-Z ain't trying to forgive shit in this track. Lucifer was originally the light bearing angel before he pissed off God as he went and as he was sent to hell. At the height of his angel career, Lucifer was considered to be the morning star. Oh, wow. Okay. Son of the morning. Yeah, anyway, but I'm just, you know, I actually used to be fascinated by these kind of stories. And, yeah, just because I'm an ex-Christian doesn't mean I can't read on this mythology. Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Mythology? Whatever. It's all fascinating shit for me, especially referring to Lucifer as the son of the morning or the morning star. And why would you call him the morning star? It doesn't matter. Whatever. Shout out to Jay-Z for helping me figure out a title for today's episode. Blame it on the son of the morning. Yeah, so shout out to everyone, you know, all the other contenders. DMX, Lord Give Me a Sign was one line. Bible on the Dash, I fucking love that track, Bible on the Dash. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. Okay, all right, 3 minutes left. One last thing, I feel the need to shout out a content creator on the internet. First one is, her name is, I just discovered her. You know when one of my favorite moments in life is discovering a new song and it just rocks my soul. And this song is called, all right, okay, let me hit back button. It is called Disgusted. And the name of the artist is hold on, we're going to play it.
Oh, I'm so disgusted. I can't believe I let you in and told you all my deepest secrets. Uh-uh. You told me I'm expensive, but you treated me the cheapest. Thank God you let me go. I didn't know how much I...
Okay, all right. 50 seconds. Oh, yeah, I think I get 30 seconds. Whatever. I'm not going to risk it. It's Songhouse. Oh, the name of the artist is Songhouse. And Wei Annie. I'm pronouncing it in French. Wei. W-E-X-A-T-E-G-U Annie. Track is Disgust. Anyway, whatever. Disgusted. Dope ass track. I don't know who this artist is. Apparently, they only have content on Twitter. On TikTok. Sorry. The second one is there's this content creator just messaged me out of random. And it just had me thinking. Like, I'm going off script right now about this wasn't actually planned, but I just feel the need to mention this. Content creator name is Miss Snowden. And pleasurable. Okay, what happened is this person just followed me on Twitter, and like I usually do when I get a follow, I click to see who this person is, and let me read what I just saw. It goes, "Hi, I'm Kimberly. I'm a streamer and content creator. Check me out on YouTube, TikTok, and Twitch under Miss Snowden, Baton Rouge, Louisiana." Hey, go figure. And I just saw that. There was no, hey, I will learn how to save on your long distance. There was no sales pitch. It was just, hey, check me out. And then, you know, love me or leave me the fuck alone. She didn't use those words, but, you know, and I clicked on her channel and I was going for some of her content and it was just like amusing. It was just like, it sounds like a fun person. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and Here's my point. Her approach to promoting her content reminded me of how I felt it was bold. I felt like it was like, maybe I should get into video games. It was courageous. It was like, I'm overthinking to this person. It's just, look, I'm just promoting my shit. I'm just hustling my shit. And to me, it's like, wow, you just like, it reminds me of growing up and when I used to look up to pickup artists and I used to be so amazed at how they would go up to girls and sell themselves, convince these poor women that they should have sex with them. Of course, that was the conversation. It usually started off with just saying hi. Just go say hi. That's what it was. And to me, just saying hi felt like dangerous. It felt like, wow, what? Why would you do that? What? And you're always worried about the rejection. All I'm saying is, shout out to you, to the content creator out there who believe in their shit, who believe in their creation, and who are out there selling their content out there on these cruel streets of the internet. It's just, there was something impressive about that shit, man. So I was inspired by just this brief interaction. What? Did I follow her back? Of course I did. No, I didn't. I dissed her. I said, man, fuck you and your content. Anyway, yeah, no. I follow back. But I'm just saying, it was interesting how simple interaction, just simple hello, led to curiosity. You know, it was enough to brief a healthy dose of curiosity to say, okay, what's your content about? Like, I wish I was good at the game. I was a gamer because that would be my content. That's easier to promote. But no, I'm the content I have, I'm still trying to figure it out what it is and whether it's worth trying to sell. But until then, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing at the moment. So with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast 066, Blaming on the Son of the Morning. Recorded on April 2nd, 2023. Holler at me on Twitter until Elon fucks it up. Elon Musk fucks it up. Holler at me on Twitter at bblizak or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Yo, shout out to you, Generation X, who still use email. who are writing this shit down. Yeah, I'm all right. Okay. And to subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website. Copy, paste that link. Or go to Google and Apple Podcasts. Google or Apple Podcasts. Yeah, I should change the writing. Yeah, Google or Apple Podcasts. All right, hey, yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.